Praise the Lord. Welcome everybody once more. All right, so we are continuing from where we started. Today, actually, it's our last series for this four-week series. So, if you remember very well, we started with Christ's desire to see that the disciples and the church to be formed was united. He put that in prayer to the Father to say, Lord, Father, may they be one as I am one with you, even those who will believe through their message. And then we moved on and we talked about the spiritual gifts. We hinted on that, and basically we dwelled much on the Apostle Paul's use of the human body parts as an analog on the coordination of the believers in the church as they demonstrate their spiritual gifts, that we need to be coordinated. The eye cannot say no because I'm not an ear, or you are not important. Each member is important. Then last week we talked about the power of the church. We talked about the keys for the kingdom of heaven. The Lord's promise to Peter that he would build the church on the confession which Peter professed, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and no gates of hell would prevail against this church. Good stuff. Yeah. And today, we are going to continue by starting to say, as all these good things are happening in the body of Christ, we must be aware that the enemy also will be at work trying to find loopholes to come in and bring division. And then he will use the same message which is being preached, the same good things which are being done in the church, to begin to turn them around, so that havoc can start in the body of Christ. And as people become busy trying to resolve these issues, they will be set back in the work of God. So let's quickly go in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses, and then I'll explain everything that I've prepared. Then we'll enter into a discussion at the end. The Bible reads, verse 1, brothers and sisters, I'm reading from TNIV. I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. So they are infants in Christ, and then they are also grown-ups. We'll talk more about that. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere human beings? For when one says, I follow Paul, another, and another, I follow Apollos, and are you not mere human beings? What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. I want you to mark that phrase. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. And they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. Then he goes ahead by saying, by the grace of God given to me, I've laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. Let me cross over quickly to verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only has one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are God's temple. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are God's temple. Praise God. Let me come to verse 21. Verse 21 to 23. The Bible says, "So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ of God." Praise God. So as I've earlier mentioned, that even in the midst of working together, the enemy will bring up something. Besides the commotion of spiritual gifts, about spiritual gifts, which was going on in the church of Corinth, another trouble came. You know, this church was so much blessed. They were miracle workers. They were speakers of tongues, interpreters of tongues. They were prophets, you know. All kinds of gifts were in there, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then from there, we see again that the dynamic also is changing in the beginning of the book. We have been told about three key leaders: Paul, the apostle, Peter, the one we just talked about last week, and Apollos. Now, I know most of us are aware about Paul and Peter, but maybe we might not be fully aware about Apollos. I want us to just get a brief background about him in the book of Acts, because the other figures, they are found everywhere. Apollos is mentioned. Okay, so let's go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, we are going to read from verse 24. Praise God. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. That's where Apollos is introduced. The Bible reads, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures." King James says, "might in scriptures." This is the definition of Apollos. 25. "He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great favor, and taught about Jesus accurately." What a description. "Though he knew only the baptism of John." So he was powerful, mighty in scriptures, preached about Jesus accurately, and he was well instructed in the Jewish tradition. But he had a challenge, because he only knew about Jesus one-sided, through the baptism of John. So meaning that his ministry was incomplete. He just knew about the baptism, not the resurrection, the life, and everything. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So though he was mighty in scripture, he was powerful, vested, he needed somebody to guide him. We see that dynamic there. Verse 27, "When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, the ministry is complete. After Priscilla and Aquila had instructed him, now he becomes vested about the Messiah. Then he was debating. He vigorously debated. Now, we have heard of his character that the guy was raised in the Jewish teachings. So he knew everything about the Jewish tradition and the teachings. He was mighty vested in scripture. And he was a learned man. Very powerful character. Similar to the Apostle Paul in the definition. Huh? And so, when he caught the fire of the Holy Ghost, he went now in the synagogue and he openly, boldly debated, proving to the Jews that Christ was indeed the Messiah. Hallelujah. This is the same man who will later now come down to Corinth. And after he comes down to Corinth, we've heard he had a strong character. He would be preaching and mightily delivering the word of God. Some people will be like, oh, what the Apostle Paul taught wasn't powerful enough. What Peter taught wasn't powerful enough. Apollos now is the one we are going to begin to follow. You know, people can change very easily. And yet others were like, ah, what Apollos is saying, what Peter is saying, it's not as powerful. But the Apostle Paul is the one we are following. The other camp was like, no, all these guys, you know, they never even met with the Lord physically. But Peter is the man of fire. So there was commotion. And then others stood up and said, ah, you guys, you are wasting time. You are for Apollos, you are for Paul, you are for Peter. As we are for none of these leaders, we are just for Christ. Four camps. Very interesting. Now you can understand the drama which was going. This is one church, one body, like the way we are in VCF. Okay? And people begins to make camps within the church. And then the report is taken to the Apostle Paul, the overseer of the church. And then he's amazed. He's like, what's going on? You guys, I thought you have matured by this time. Yet you are still not yet ready. You are infants. Even when I came, I did not come to you with great revelations. We know that Paul is one of the people who had deep revelations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, even chapter 12, we are going to hear him telling stories to say, I know a man who was caught up into paradise and heard things that cannot be told to men. That was himself. He was using that as a sign of humility. Now, he didn't go to Corinth with all those revelations that he saw, you know, from the angels and everything. He just taught them the basic doctrines of discipleship. And they quickly missed it. Instead of growing in it, they missed it. They started making divisions, dividing themselves. So he taught them to say, no, 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 this is not right. I gave you milk, not solid food, because you are not ready. But I can see that even up to this time, you are not yet ready. That is not our portion in VCF, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We are the church that grows, not just in numbers, but in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the word of God and the things of God. And then he went ahead to teach them to say, look, you're having divisions over us leaders. Who is Apollos? He's using rhetorical questions. Who is Apollos? Not that he doesn't know Apollos. In fact, he's the one who introduced him in Corinth. Who is Apollos? And who is Paul? Only mere servants. Even uses the word mere servants of the Lord. We are just servants. I planted the seed. Meaning that every word that we deliver to people, whatever you are doing in ministering to others, praying for them, encouraging them in the works of the Lord, those are the seeds that we are planting. Paul said, I planted the seed. And Apollos, according to the character that we've heard, he was mighty in scripture. He went and he taught them, meaning that he was discipling the church now, watering the seed. And the Lord made it to grow. And indeed, the seed grew, because later we are going to hear that they will receive spiritual gifts. A lot of things will be going on. Of course, commotion will be inevitable. Again, you have to write to correct about spiritual gifts. So he points to them to say, Peter, Apollos, Paul himself were just mere servants of the Lord. We should bear that in mind, that as we work for the Lord, we are just doing the work as servants. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is a great temptation, because naturally, as human beings, we love to be praised. We love compliments. We love to be flattered. Right? Say yes. You see, we like compliments. You see, there is no, you see, in saying yes, there is no sin. You know, this is just reality. We like it. When somebody say, oh, well done, this is great. You even feel the heart, you know, is even, oh, yeah, yeah, praise God. Amen, amen. Yeah. You know, that is the nature of human beings. Now, I'm just imagining when these guys were saying, us, we are for Apollos, how Apollos was feeling. Ah, no, us, we are for Apostle Peter. I'm sure they were even gauging the numbers to say, how many are following? How many are shouting the name of Peter? How many are followers of Paul, you know? Behaving like politicians, you know? In politics, that counts a lot. This is very important in politics. You need to know the followers, how many are following you, how many are cheering after you. But in the kingdom of God, it's not like that. That's why the Apostle Paul put them in the right place. He said, no, 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 no. That is a mistake. Who are these people you are following? They are just mere servants. So we are mere servants. I would like to submit to us that as we continue to exercise the gifts we talked about and all the power in the kingdom of God, in the church, and all the good things that God has vested, the talents in us, this temptation is inevitable. It is going to come. People start cheering you. What will be your response? How are you going to respond to that? That's what will matter. Another good example is in the Old Testament. David slays the giant. And then they are coming back from the war. What were the women shouting? Saul has killed his thousands. And David is what? 10,000s. Can you see how members tens people around? Tens leaders around? Saul has killed his thousands and David is 10,000. How many thousands did David kill apart from one man? You can hear now the flutter of praise. But thank God, David was a humble man. Amen. Even when people were exalting him, crowning him to be king there, before his right time, he was humble enough to say, no, this is not my place. Even when he was being persecuted, you know, dodging spears from Saul, he said, I have raised my hand never to do harm to the anointed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So people are going to cheer us, like in Corinth. In here, they are going to cheer us. They are going to praise us. How are we going to receive that? Are we going to say, ah, please, more, 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 more. I'm feeling well. Please, go ahead, more. Or we are going to say, no, 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 no. This is not the right way. The right way is cheering the Lord. We are only servants. Amen. This is very important for us to note. And so, then he goes ahead to say, the day is coming when our work is going to be tested with fire. It will be passed through the fire. The Greek expression there is for a test, whereby you get something and put it on fire. It burns. And then the interest is on the aftermath, after the fire. How is the appearance of this structure after it has burned down? Yeah. Is the foundation going to be intact? Are the pillars going to stand still? So this test will come. Others, they use this scripture to teach about salvation. No. This scripture does not talk about the saved and the unsaved. Remember, we are talking about the believers. All these people are Christians. So there is no unbeliever and unbeliever. All of them are believers. It is talking about works, not salvation. Because salvation is not based on our works. It is by grace alone. Hallelujah. Faith and faith in Christ Jesus. By grace, through faith in Christ Jesus. That is what brings salvation, not our works. And so he says that it will pass through fire. Others, they have used this scripture to justify purgatory. To say, no, after some times, you know, when you die a sinner, you are going to go in purgatory where fire is burning. And then when your works survive what you are doing on earth, then you transition. I don't stand for that teaching. Because that's not the way I understand the Bible. Amen. Amen. Then, so this day can mean the last day, the eschaton, you know, the eschaton day, you know, the last day of judgment, or it could be the process now through trials, testings, and temptation. When we say, okay, we are members of VCF, we are soldiers of Christ, hallelujah, we are proceeding, you know, in power, praying. And then the enemy will hit and bring trials, temptation. Are we still going to stand when an issue comes that threatens our fellowship? Are we going to hold on together to say, yes, we still believe in the Lord? Are we going to do that as a church? Or maybe we are going to say, ah, no, this church is for Pastor Ko, I've gone. That's what members like doing. They will try to throw it on the pastor and say, ah, no, 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 no. I've had this before in the church where people say, this church is for Stephen Mwanga. Let him remain with his church. And I'm like, no, it's not my church. No, it's yours. Are we going to stand? That is the fire. Peter tells us that the trials, they come to purify us so that we can come out as pure gold, tested. Now, this is important. The fire, we need to go through the fire so that our character can be modeled. You can be vested in mighty scriptures. You can be vested in spiritual gifts. You can be prophesying, performing signs and wonders, miracles. But if your character is unchecked, then there is a problem. When the fire comes to hit, to pass through the building, if you stand still, then yes, you have passed the test. By the time you come out of that fire, when you stand to speak, people are going to say, here stands the Lord's anointed servant. Even when there is confusion, there is division among people, when you go there, or even among the brothers or family members, children, or anywhere, People will know when you open your mouth to speak to say, ah, this one has been tested and humbled by the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is very important. So our character will be tested. God will use different series of issues. But the question is, are we going to stand still? Are we going to stand? Or we are going to run away? I've been saying in the past 3 weeks that we are not those who shrink back. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Are we gradually saying that we are not those who shrink back?
Yeah.
Yes. Praise God. So when this fire comes to test, it is only a test. A test is not a real thing. Amen? Yeah, I'm gradually saying it because I've had my test of... I've gone through a couple of tests. I'm still going through them. And I praise God for that because I know that God is making me. God makes us through the things that we go through. And once you've overcome that, there are things that I used to struggle with in the past when I was just, you know, starting my Christianity, even being a pastor here and there. But today, I'm able to recognize, to say, I've seen this. It does nothing. It has no power on me. Because I've been there. I've overcome it.
Yeah.
You know, there is a time when I was behaving like the people in Corinth, you know, moving after one man of God and the other, going after people, prophets, this one, wanting to be connected with anybody. I passed through the fire. Today, that is not an issue with me. Amen?
Amen.
Because God has pruned. He has dealt with that character. Are we together?
Amen.
Don't worry. No, when I'm talking about such, it becomes hard. What is he saying? Does he know how hard these things? That's what the Lord wants. Even as we are talking about the power, which we've been talking about in the past weeks, the miracles, you know, fire filled by the Spirit of God. This is inevitable. It is when we are operating in that dynamic, that's when this is going to come now. To really test us, to see whether we are really moving in the real power. People will come and say, "Ah, you are so powerful than anybody else." How are you going to receive that?
Praise God.
There is a praise God. Yeah, you say, praise God. Glory be to God. But it has to be sincere, because sometimes you do it, you know, in a way of performance, say, praise God, but in your heart you are like, yes, 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 I am. God sees the heart. Amen?
Amen?
So we need to have our character checked by focusing on the Lord. Yes, we need to respect our leaders. And members will respect us. And as I've said, the same members are going to give us compliments that will make us begin to go off track. If these spiritual leaders were not matured, they could have lost it. But look at the Apostle Paul. He responded by correcting them. He said, "No, you are wrong. All of us. In fact, you are trying to divide us, but we are one." He showed them, "We are one. You members are trying to divide us, but we are one. And our goal is saving Christ. You are God's field." Amen. Praise God. Now, let me continue by saying that it is so important to note that the division was caused by the members themselves, just as I've said, because of them having favorites. Thus, as members of the church, we should attain spiritual maturity that focuses on the Lord, not on human beings. This does not mean that we become rebellious to our leaders. That itself is sin, and the Lord is not pleased with it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Tells us that we should respect and honor our leaders. who've taken time to tirelessly labor in bringing us, in instructing us in the things of the Lord. Amen. And as I've said earlier, as leaders, as God will start using us mightily, this is coming for all of us. This is coming. As God will be using us mightily, we should always remember that we are doing all that as servants of God. Let's ask ourselves, every time we are working for the Lord, what is our motive? What is the motive? Let me put it this way. What is the motive of coming to church every Sunday? That is the question. You don't have to answer me. Just think about it. What is your motive of coming to church every Sunday? You know the answer. You have answered. Now, some of us, our motives will be, okay, I'm sick. I'll go to church so that I can get healed. And what happens if you don't get healed? Are you going to continue? That becomes a problem. Okay? Okay, my motive is to go to church so that God can bless me with money. I become rich. What happens if you continue not having money? Are you going to continue to serve the Lord? That becomes a challenge. So as we are serving the Lord, what is the motive? Others says, okay, my motive is I need to go to that church because there are a lot of people. I have to be known. I need to be recognized. People need to know me. I have to be known that there is a Mubanga here. What happened if they just look at you and say, who is this guy? You get frustrated and you quit serving the Lord. So, our motives must be aligned to the correct motive. Our motive should be to serve the Lord. Come rain, come sunshine. The things that we put in front, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6 verse 33. So we tend to do the opposite. The things that is said will be added to you, those are the things that we put first. And because we are going about it in a wrong way, things are not working out because we are not putting God first. We are putting the things first. And because the things that we are putting first are not manifesting because we are pressing a wrong button, again, we become frustrated. We are like, I've stopped even going to church. What kind of a church is that? I've been going for years and there is no change in my life. It has a problem. I'm going somewhere else. No, it is you and me who has a problem, not the church. Hallelujah. Do you think God can have a problem? Who has a problem between you and me and God? Between us, who has a problem? God is always right. A human being is the one who has a problem. Hallelujah. Because of what we like prioritizing. Are you still liking me?
Yeah.
Okay, praise God. Just checking. People can be preparing to throw chairs on you to say, you're being too much. Praise God. It's a little bit hard, but it's sweet. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so when we say we focus on the Lord, all these things will be added unto us. Amen.
Amen.
So motive. What is our motive as we are serving the Lord? As we are worshiping the Lord? That should be considered. Some people's motive is to just bring division, frustration to the body of Christ. They just want to bring havoc to the church leaders. I have seen different characters in the body of Christ. There are those who wants to dictate the pastor what they want to hear. If a pastor preaches a message that confronts them directly, they'll be just shaking, waiting for him to finish the sermon. Especially in America, you know, you have got too much freedom. Now, I've learned this. There's too much freedom. People will just stand up and they will just go and confront somebody. I didn't like what you said. It's like you are talking about me. I'm sure somebody told you about this. I don't like that. May we not be like that in VCF, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people will confront the pastor to say, "You are preaching about me. I don't like that." Instead of just saying, "Lord, thank you, because my problem has been tackled and I have to work on it." Are we together? Praise the Lord. I'm reducing the gears. Don't worry. I'm balancing up. Sorry? Okay, praise God. No chairs, praise God. Yeah, so this is very important in the body of Christ. You know, when the word comes, when we are being corrected, we need to be humble enough to receive it. Look, the Apostle Paul, when he told them to say, "I fed you with milk. I did not give you solid food. Are you not worldly?" Who would feel nice? You've been worshiping the Lord all these years and he's telling you to say, he's asking you to say, "Are you not worldly?" Worldly, we've been believers. So he was attacking their character. He was rebuking them. He was confronting them to say, "You are being worldly because your character is not different from mere human beings," meaning people without God, people without Christ. Now, let me quickly run through. I'm going to talk about some of the examples. Let me look at some biblical examples in the New Testament. The Bible gives us a number of examples of individuals who caused pain and division to the body of Christ. So I looked at some believers. Of course, we've looked at the members themselves in the church at Corinth who started dividing themselves by following their favorites. Okay? And then the second person is named Diotrephes. Diotrephes. In 3 John. I'll go ahead and read that one very quickly. 3 John. 3 John verse 9 to 14. The Bible says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us." So that's the description of Diotrephes, the man who loves to be first. "So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us." That's hard, right? "Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church." Dangerous guy. He gives suspension to the people that wants to help others. You can imagine that kind of a church. "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." "Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Now, look at the two characters. So here, the Apostle John is addressing Gaius, who is like a leader, one of the leaders in the church. And then he's telling them to say, look, I've heard the reports about this man called Diotrephes, who is obviously also one of the church leaders. Now, Diotrephes becomes a man with a very dangerous character. One, he's a man who loves to be first. Do you know what that means? If a person wants to be first all the time, then it means there is a problem. That person is a proud person. What did Jesus say? The first shall be the last, and vice versa. He gave examples to say, when you go for a wedding, don't go and assign yourself a high table seat. Because it would be more embarrassing for you if somebody came and said, excuse me, you are seated in a wrong place. Your seat is at the far back. That is some wisdom there. But on the contrary, this guy loved to be first. Meaning that, now, the apostle, just like in Corinth, the apostle Paul is giving instruction. Here, John the apostle, the man who had been with the Lord Jesus, is giving instruction. He was refuting the instructions of the apostle. He was like, what is this guy telling us? I am in charge here. If I see anyone in this church helping the brothers, you are suspended. You are out of the church. So he loved to be the first, very proud man. And then he refused to help others. What kind of a Christian is that? Who doesn't want to help others? And not only that, he refuses to help others. And then there are those individuals who are like, okay, we are not like you. We are going ahead and help them. And then he goes ahead and suspends them, or he chucks them out of the church. He's like, oh, I've refused to help them and you are trying to help them. Then you are also suspended, excommunicated from this church. What kind of a person is that? What kind of a church leader is that? May he not be our example in Jesus' name. But on the contrary, in my language, we say, we've got a saying, a proverb which says, in every village, there is no short of a witch. At least in every village, there must be a witch. That's a saying. Meaning that in every group of people, there will be one person you are going to be saying, that one is very dangerous. You have to handle with care. You know? There will be, even among the people who will be considered to be dangerous people, bad people, there will be one whom you are going to say, he's not like the others. That one at least, you know, that one is good. So in the midst of this Diotrephes character, there was Demetrius, an opposite character, a good man. A total opposite to this guy who loved the people. And he affirms him. He said, we've heard about his report. He's a good man. Continue, and your testimony is true. John is saying that a person who does not love has not seen God. A person who does not walk in the truth has not seen God. There is no way. And John, you know, keeps on saying this. He's the same person who will say, there is no way you can say that you love God. Just like the Lord Jesus, whom you have not seen, and then you are saying that you are refusing to love your brother. Let me put it this way. John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, same person, says, "For this is how we know what love is. Christ died for the ungodly, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." So John chapter 3, verse 16 demonstrates God's love for mankind and the world. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 demonstrates man's love for fellow man and the world. Amen? And by doing that, you're also demonstrating your love for God. There is no way I can say, "Hallelujah, I'm vibrating in tongues, you know, in prophets and everything," and then I say, "I don't love Brother Eric." Then I'm an hypocrite. Jesus said, "How can you love God you have never seen, yet you hate your brother?" Right. What kind of demonstration of love is that? I've got nothing to do with people, but I love God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. No, that is not true. Love begins at home. Amen? Here in the church, how we relate with one another. Last time I mentioned about this. The reason why we are called Christians, in Acts 14, it started as a mockery, not really as a good title, you know. They were mocking Christians to say, "Look at them. They are just behaving like Jesus Christ. They are Christians." Why? Because their character depicted that of the Lord. When people look at us, does our character depict that of Jesus Christ? Sometimes people say, "Even me who doesn't go to church, I'm better than that one." Of course, sometimes they'll say it maliciously because of their own agenda, but sometimes it might be true. So we need to work on that. So may we not be like this guy, Diotrephes. That's not a character to imitate. Amen? We need to love. So he caused a lot of division in the church, a lot of commotion, hating the body of Christ. And then, let me read the last scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's hear about some more brethren. Who brought some havoc in the kingdom? The Bible says, verse 9, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." He loved this world. He has deserted me. This is the Apostle Paul, a powerful man of God, is now crying, complaining. "Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." I mentioned about John Mark last week. This is the guy. "I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring me the cloak that I left with Coppers at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments." Listen to verse 14. "Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done." Now, this is very strange. You know, for Apostle Paul to hear him now is calling some form of judgment, you know, on Alexander, to say the Lord will repay him for what he has done. Hey! "You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. right there. He wants Timothy to say, you too should be on guard for him because he strongly opposed our message. Very dangerous guy. They are preaching the gospel. His job was to go and do, to plant wrong seeds. That's an agent of darkness. Huh? You are preaching Christ for people to believe and somebody is following, opposing them. No, they are liars. They are not telling you the truth. Do not believe in them. This is also the warning to us to say, watch out for such people. Be on guard. I said the last, actually the last is now Romans, in line with what I've said. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 verse 17 to 20. Three verses only. That has prompted me of what I've just said. That watch out. The Bible says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Other version says that their own berries. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of the naive people. Remember, I talked about flattery in the beginning. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent and what is evil. Verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 20. King James Version says, mark them. Mark those who causes division among you. We are Christians, yes, but we are not supposed to be moving blindly. We need to mark them that causes division and confusion in the body of Christ. That brings hatred in the kingdom. People like Diotrephes, who were spreading malicious talks. Some people are very malicious. Planting wrong seeds to turn people against each other. There are others who do that. He said this. She said this. You hear again another story, another story, another. In the end, you are enemies. So, as matured Christian, the Apostle Paul is advising to say, be able to judge what is wrong and what is right. What is innocent and what is evil. We should be able to discern. What I've been saying is that as we are serving the Lord with the gifts, the talents, and all the grace that He has given us, let us watch out for the flattery that will begin to come. Flattery is not really a good word. It carries an element of deception. People will be saying, we'll be praising you, but they are not really meaning what they are saying. Brother Daniel, you are powerful in this whole church than anybody else. And then when you hear it, you're like, yeah, I think you are right. That is hallelujah. This is, you are right. That's why I love you, my brother. I keep saying that. You know? So, you know, such things. So we have to be very careful with the flattery. People flatter. You know? I've seen different characters. There are people, if they want something, they'll begin by flattering. You know, they'll first flatter you first of all. As you are confused in that flattery, and then they ask for something, you fail to refuse because they have already trapped you. You know? So we need to watch out. Do the right thing. Hallelujah. We need to mark such people. So let people that we minister to bring confusion. If people are praising you more than you are supposed to be praised, they are supposed to praise God. If they are complimenting you more than necessary, redirect them to the one who is supposed to be complimented. Mm-hmm. And then we shouldn't do it maliciously. Sorry, I'm using that word. We shouldn't do it maliciously in a way that shows that we are better than others. We are bringing down others, other fellow leaders, and exalting ourselves. I'm saying this as a pastor. I've seen it. I'm talking from experience. You know? There are people who come and say, okay, I'm just telling you this in confidence. And then they will try to gossip a church leader. Okay? They'll try to gossip the pastor and say, oh, no, he did this, 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 this. What are you going to say? Or maybe they'll try to gossip Brother Martin, for example. Or maybe Daniel. They are friends. And then I go to this one, I tell him something else, which is against that one. So that I fuel up something, as he goes, then fire is going to kindle. We should avoid such issues. Amen?
Amen?
I know this is hard, but praise God. You know, Brother Eric. Praise God.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
That's an easy one. I love that. So, let's just watch out. When we don't handle this properly, what I'm talking about today on the last day, it is going to sweep away everything, all the gifts, all the fire, all the miracles that we've talked about in the past. Just this little yeast, if it is unchecked, it destroys everything. Because I'm telling you, brethren, that when there is division, and when we upset each other here over issues that were not handled properly, and then we come for prayer, do you think there will be good prayers offered? People will be praying out of grudges. And I can guarantee you, the prayer points that you are going to hear, there will be dangerous prayers of warfare. Oh Lord, arise, crush my enemies. Yes, every man against me, every woman. People will be shouting, throwing fire. It is out of bitterness, not out of love. So let's look at these things and handle them properly. Amen.
Amen.
If they come and praise us, let's tell them to say, glory be to God. I am only a servant doing the duty as a servant. This is very important. That is the test of humility. That is the test. Pride is the sin that caused Satan to fall. When we read, as it is presented in Isaiah 14, as a figure of some king, pride, that when it begins to come in, then we lose it. So we need to regulate it in Jesus' name. And give glory to God. Hallelujah. And the second thing I talked about in summary is our motives. Let's check our motives for doing things. What's the motive? Motive is very important to understand. Some people, they will do something very good. When people look at it outwardly, they will be like, yes, that is powerful. But inside them, their motive is different. It's not really helping. It's not really speaking the good words they are saying. It has a voice behind. Amen. That's why as a child of God, I asked God to train me. I asked the Holy Spirit to train me to hear a voice behind the voice. That will sound a bit strange. I'm not imposing it as a doctrine. No, I'm just talking about when somebody says something, I'll check it in the spirit. If really it is coming from the honest heart. If it's not, immediately I'll feel the burden upon my heart. It's not being, you know, super spiritual or what. But God has given me one gift. I had to seek for this gift to be activated after I passed through a lot of fire and disappointment of deception. As a young minister, you know, everybody will come in the name, oh, they are big people, you know, they've been around for a long time. They will tell you things, you follow, it's deception. You find yourself in issues. At that time, I said, Lord, give me a discerning heart. There was one time, a brother came and said, the Lord has spoken to me that I need to work with you, my brother, in your ministry. Hallelujah. Oh, shakarabasandarabarabara. And even speaking in tongues. I said, well, let's pray about that. We talked. When we are praying, I had this burden upon my heart. I don't have to hear the voice to say, this is not true. No. Just that feeling. Just that feeling of lack of peace and comfortable. I know to say this is deception. I told him, I said, I'm not so sure that the Lord wants us to work together. He left. I told somebody I was with to say, God has said, no, this guy has a wrong motive, it's deception. And for you to know that the Lord has spoken for you, this guy will never come back. And it just happened just like that. So, when somebody is telling you something, you are able to know whether they are lying or they are telling the truth. If you've paid attention to that. When you have peace over something or you don't have peace. Simple. Sometimes we say, no, I had two hearts. One was telling me no, the other one was saying yes. We only have one heart, not two. It is the Spirit of God that speaks, and then the enemy also. So, and the enemy speaks with great intense prompting. And the Holy Spirit is very tender, soft. You can even miss him if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So let's watch out for such people. You don't have to stay with a Satanist, for example, with somebody who is a witch or a wizard. For a long time. And then after they have left, that's when you hear to say, oh, we didn't know that person was a wizard. A child of God must know immediately. Amen. Discernment. Even the people of confusion. When you are talking to somebody, for example, this is just me now. When I talk to somebody for about maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes. That's a long time for me to understand that person. It might not sound real, but that's it with me. Because as we are talking, what I will be talking about or asking questions, the person will not know what I'm finding out about them. It's wisdom and knowledge. Amen. So within that time, they will answer me and I will know to say, oh, this person is here. Does that make sense? May we watch out in Jesus' name. Let me disengage the gear now. Vroom! Back to gear one. Be at peace in Jesus' name. So, let's look at our motives. Let's consider when people are praising us in the things that we are doing. Let's check our ambitions. Self-ambitions. Let's check them out. Is this ambition of God or maybe it's my personal thing? How does it relate? So quickly, I'm going to end here, and I'll just read through the questions that I've prepared, which we are going to discuss. The first one is, how do you feel when people flatter you whenever you do something? I've already talked about that. Do you feel the temptation of being the best of all? How would you overcome that going forward? So think about it. Number two, what is your heart embedded motive for serving the Lord or helping others? I use the word embedded because sometimes the people we tell things, they don't know what is down there in the heart. Okay? So what is there? What is it? Is it to make a name for yourself or so that they can help you back? There are people sometimes who say, I know, scratch my back, I scratch yours. You heard that phrase? Mm-hmm. If I help you with a problem, you have to help me back. If not, then I stop. So, what is the motive? What is the ambition? The last one is interesting. How do you receive correction or rebuke? Each one of us should answer that one. How do we receive correction and rebuke? Well or not well? If not well, how would you make adjustments? There are people sometimes when a word of correction comes, you just see their face changing and their eyes becomes red immediately. You see Mubanga's eyes are red and he begins to shake and begin to breathe heavily. Finish. Some threatening violence there. You know, trying to intimidate you. So these are the practical life issues that we need to deal with. If we check all these things in the kingdom, then we'll move forward. The kingdom life shall be manifested with unity. Hallelujah! Let's also remember that the work of God cannot be intimidated in any way. Paul showed the Corinthian believers to say, we are only workers. God is the one who makes the seed grow. I can give you an example. I'm here in the U.S. Before I came, we planted two churches. While I've been here, over into the third year now, the leaders, they have planted the third branch. That was evident enough to me to say, God can still use people without me. Amen. Amen. And I praise God for that because I know that truly the seed was planted right and it is growing. The Lord bless us. Let's calm down. I'm sensing, you know, a little bit of hostility in the spirit. Yeah. So let's just ponder about these things nicely, you know, and let's pray that we ask the Lord to help us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. We pray that Holy Spirit, may you cause your word to sink deeply in our hearts, Lord. May we use this word to the glory of your name. Make us to be members who are mature, Make us to be leaders who are mature, who shall not cause any form of division, Lord. May we have our motives aligned correctly. Check our ambitions, Lord. Every selfish ambition, Lord, may it be removed out of our lives. Unite us, Lord, to be one, even as we do your work. May we always remember to give you back all the praise and the glory. May we not backbite one another or speak malicious things against each other like Diotrephes. We pray that we shall not be divided into camps like the Corinthian believers, Lord, but we shall be united as one. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.